This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Dennis is Dennis Halnon. He's one of the employee owners at Tab Computer Systems, who comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. All of us are employee owners at Tab. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. If you happen to be a geek looking to make a change like 40% of the planet is, keep us in mind. We'd love to have you.
You may as well join a company that you can own.
Exactly. lots of benefits as far as that goes, and we can talk about that down the line. But as far as you guys, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. The first hour is usually the easiest time. Four lines wide open for you. But as usual and customary, we talk about technology news, and Dennis has got one for us. It's kind of interesting.
I do. Google's DeepMind AI project has been going places recently.
All right.
Specifically into the past. Some scholars and the DeepMind project developed a way to use AI to analyze broken Greek and ancient Greek inscriptions.
That's cool.
To figure out what the letters are that are missing because they're, you know, either smashed or cracked or whatever.
So it's like Wordle on steroids.
Right. Wordle. Okay. That's a good parallel. Mm. What they did was they took some of these texts that are actually called Attic decrees. They're decrees that were posted in and around Athens.
Neat.
In the
like don't spit on the sidewalk kind of thing.
Plus things like this is the place where such and such victory occurred.
Oh, okay.
All kinds of different things. That the city government wanted to notify somebody about. Okay. Yep. At any rate, there's a whole collection of these, and a lot of them are broken up. But what was nice about it is because they have some that were intact, they knew what the style was of them, what kind of wording was used, different things like that. And apparently they fed that into DeepMind, then took some broken inscriptions, and DeepMind analyzed them. And it didn't just say, okay, well, I think, you know, these three letters are, you know, Eta, Kappa, Mu, okay?
Right.
What it did was it came up with different possible combinations that could be there.
Yeah.
Then assigned them a confidence level. And then the scholars looked at that and then figured out what they could be. Gotcha. So it was kind of a collaboration between the AI and the scholars.
Yeah.
And the article that I've got from Ars Technica doesn't say it, but I assume that the scholars would then take that information, feed it back into the AI to make those confident levels more accurate. than they were originally.
Gotcha.
And it's a really nifty project, and I can see the application of it to all kinds of things,
yeah,
because there are many old manuscripts that are, you know, very smudged with whole passages that are completely missing. And AI could be used to try to tease that out and figure out what those things say.
Yeah, I mean, there could be some great little tablets there that talk about Marioist the Cuomoist bridges. that can be out there for them. So interesting, AI. So it was funny, Dennis was talking about this before we went live today, and I was talking to him about AI and the lack of AI that Uber seems to have. You see all these reporters talking to Uber drivers, and they're, you know, the folks that are driving Uber are just getting their butts kicked with these gas prices, right? And, you know, they don't know what to do or how they're going to do it. You can't change your fare. Uber does the fare. And so these Uber drivers are just whining and complaining, and I don't blame them. Why would Uber, who knows the actual make, model, and literally color of your car, not be able to take what the expected gas mileage is and the current this interface with Gas Buddy or some sort of database,
right,
to produce an artificial intelligence discussion between the app and say, okay, the fare now is this. And
right,
the Uber driver's like, good, I can still make money doing that. Or
yeah,
you don't get a ride because it's too expensive. But
there's just no excuse that they can't do that.
Right, right.
I don't see why they couldn't, unless they just...
They don't seem to.
...want to keep the fares low so that the riders will keep signing up.
But then Uber makes the money, but the drivers don't. They get all the wear and tear, and they don't make their money. So
yeah,
it's interesting, and you know, there's lots of AI out there, but artificial intelligence is, you know...
Well, it's nice that there's artificial intelligence, but there still needs to be humans,
right,
to flip the switch and turn it on.
And implement it and care.
Yeah.
I mean... I always thought that's how Uber worked, right? Clearly, they work based on demand and supply. Clearly,
yes.
Because those fares
there has to be a lot of analytics already baked into that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you'd think costs of fuel would be one of the biggest pieces of it. You know, if you're driving an Uber and it's a I don't know, big monster SUV that you're getting 10 miles to the gallon, you should be modifying your fare, I would think.
I would, but...
So.
Hey, we're Tommy. Just geeks. What do we know?
Tommy's back there. The phone's ringing. These poor guys are calling in. There we go. All right. We're training our producer back there. It's not his fault. The phone doesn't ring. I just see it in my screen here. All right. In other news, I wanted to bring up this. UK government signs IT contract. This is from my favorite tech blog out there, the Register. It's a UK tech blog.
Great stuff.
UK government signs IT contracts, quote, without understanding, quote, the needs. We've talked about this forever, at least I have. I mean, heck, here in the state of Connecticut, we had a cybersecurity czar that never even did anything with computers. I mean, insanity. You know, how many people are in our legislatures making laws about technology that don't even know how a computer works? They're
right.
Most of them are lawyers.
Right.
Nothing wrong with being a lawyer. I mean, lawyers, we have a lot of great clients that are lawyers and a lot of friends
true
that are lawyers. Nothing wrong
true
with lawyers. But I wouldn't want them to design an IT cyber system.
No.
And then put laws in place for it. I mean, they can't figure out how to put regular laws in place that don't screw everything up. Imagine the IT side of things. So this is... the NAO also sees a lack of digital knowledge at the top civil service levels. So you do find that some of these folks at these agencies, according to this report, don't even want to deal with the IT changes that are implemented, right? You know, we've always done it this way. We've always used a hammer and chisel to fill everything out in triplicate. Why would you want to use something like Excel, spreadsheet, something that, you know, paperless technology? Because a lot of these government workers do not want the change. They just want to punch their clock, get their pay, get their pension, and get out. They're not looking to improve the process. They're just looking to do the process. And we, the customers of government, who pay the highest prices in the world here in Connecticut for government,
yes,
are the ones that are suffering. This is a UK article, but you can apply it anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. I was when you first started saying that, what hit me is that's another water is wet story.
Yeah.
And it applies everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
Anything that would improve performance or reduce the need for bodies, obviously, the unions don't want to have. So
right,
they're not anxious to improve these things.
It applies even to some corporations.
Oh, of course
too,
it does. Of course it does.
It's more or, inconvenient when it's government.
Yeah.
Because so it affects everybody.
I'll put a link up here. You can kind of take a look at it, but it is a water is wet story, but it's just, it kind of tickled me. Sorry. What else you got there, Dennis? Anything else you want to bring up?
Something else out of the UK. I have a Gizmodo story about Bitcoin ATMs.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's his name? Spike Lee doing commercials for some kind of Bitcoin
ETF,
ATMs?
Maybe. An ATM?
Yeah, here in the United States.
Oh, my goodness. I think I did see something like that.
Well, interesting development in the UK.
Yeah.
Bitcoin ATMs are now illegal in the United Kingdom.
Good.
Good deal.
Yeah. I'm all for that.
The fewer venues for people to try to cash out their fake money, the better.
I agree. That's a good story.
And inflate the cost by buying it, too.
It's like you're selling and trading in Beanie Babies. it's crazy. So, and of course, our own government has released some new... I think President Biden put some sort of executive thing into place saying they're going to look at regulating Bitcoin.
Yes.
I've seen stories, too, about Coinbase, which is a big exchange, actually looking at Russian accounts and being able to lock them down or eliminate their ability to move money or fake money around, right? Because you need to take the ability to take the fake money into real money.
Yes.
And Coinbase is now looking at these accounts and trying to figure out who they are and lock them down, which, of course, is anti the point of Bitcoin. It's supposed to be a libertarian utopia where nobody knows anything.
Right. It's supposed to be a paradise of the free market where nothing ever gets touched.
Right. But the more this happens, the more people realize it's both fake money and eventually it's going to be regulated. You're going to hopefully, and it's the processing power you're wasting and the energy you're wasting to process the fake money. There's so many downsides to it. And the fact that it's used for ransomware. That the poor FBI is up to its eyeballs trying to help companies against this ransomware stuff. Why wouldn't we just say enough of this? Some geek created this thing just because of blockchain.
Right.
And they said it's deemed worth of this.
Well, you know what's interesting? Whoever it was that invented Bitcoin.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. He has most of them.
Yeah, but nobody knows who it is.
Right.
You would think that if it were the greatest thing since sliced bread,
right,
that he or she or they would want to take credit for it.
There is some legal battle happening where somebody said he was involved in the creation of Bitcoin and trying to go after a wallet and all this crazy stuff. But
yeah,
we deserve the silliness we continue to support. So we'll put these stories out there for you guys. A couple lines open for you. The lines are starting to ring. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We got Pete on the line and Joe on the line. We'll be right back after this quick break. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we have four lines filled up this morning. You guys are great. Give us something to do. Otherwise, we got to talk about our kids or our cats, and that's not fun radio. Let's go to Pete in Wilmington first. Wilmington, Delaware, Pete? Or Wilmington, Connecticut?
No, Wilmington, Connecticut.
Wilmington. I got you.
Oh, home of Wilmington pizza.
All right, one strike on Tom there. What can we do there, Pete?
Hey, question for you. I figure you guys would be in the know.
Mm-hmm.
Just being out in the as a just a regular person listening to the news and all that.
Yeah.
I remember we had a cyber attack from Russia on, I just don't recall exactly what, but I thought it was some kind of oil or gas pipeline down south last year. And do you remember how it took out some kind of infrastructure and there was a big shortage and lines and all that?
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you guys know? Do you guys know any more than the average person would about, say, what the potential threat is for our electric grids and stuff like that? Like, you hear about how bad it could be, but, what do you guys know that we might not?
Yeah, well, we know how that sausage is made, and it's pretty ugly.
Yes.
The attack on the pipeline was not necessarily targeted. They use phishing, right? So you can send out a bunch of emails, and some ding-a-ling in the front office of that oil and gas pipeline opens the email, and all of a sudden ransomware is spreading across all their systems because they didn't segment it, because they didn't put in good EDR, MDR technology, because that company did not do what most folks require companies to do, and especially in a company that was so regulated as that, that they should have put these protections in. And again, here in America, again, the people who write the laws don't even understand the laws, and nobody enforces the laws. Heck, here in Connecticut, our DMV for 40 years didn't even have a DR ability. They would audit it all the time, but there was no disaster recovery built in. The auditors were telling them over and over again, hey, guess what? No disaster recovery. So the problem really is, Pete, that there's so many companies out there that don't even do the basics of security. They don't do updates. They don't put two-factor authentication in. They don't even harden passwords. They don't do service packs and updates of the operating systems. And we see it all the time. Even security awareness training. The easiest thing you can do is, and then one of the cheapest things, is to just train your people on what to look for.
Right, so that you don't fall for the tricks like that.
Yeah, and right. these tricks are insidious. So, I mean, who knows what was sent.
So what do you guys think, though? Like, in light of what you just said, are we as a nation, and as far as our grids and infrastructure, do you think we're pretty vulnerable?
Depends on how connected we put our devices to the network, right? So the more connected we make our electric system, let's say, if it's on the internet in some crazy way, then guess what? You're up against the Russians. The Russians are on the internet too, right? So you need to segment them. You need to, quote unquote, air gap them. You need to do all sorts of things to keep yourself more protected. However, you can still impact the whole back office that's not connected to the grid by just hammering them with spam, then trick them into clicking on things.
Well, one of the things about that pipeline company that got ransomware attack, one of the reasons why they shut down was not because the ransomware necessarily affected the control mechanisms for the pipeline.
Right.
What happened was it wrecked their computer systems that collected payments and issued invoices.
Right. So they couldn't
ask for payment, and they couldn't get payment.
Right.
So they shut everything down.
Right. That's another issue.
I get it.
They need to have go ahead.
I'm sorry. So you don't think there's any in light of what we're talking about it on a very basic level. You don't think there's any government departments or anything that have this on the radar and are reaching out to these private companies, utilities, et cetera, and saying, hey, listen, if you get shut down, it could take, the economy and basically bring it right to a halt. You should be doing something. Do you think there's any of that going on, incentivizing or pre-warning and saying, hey, you got to really step up your game or be on the lookout for something that could happen?
It is out there.
There is an office at the DHS that does advise utility companies on. They have cyber intelligence, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. So they know when certain campaigns are happening and what to look for certain things. And they do talk to the infrastructure companies a lot.
Yeah, the other issue, though, is the vulnerabilities that are unknown right now. We're in IT, right? So last spring, around March, Exchange servers, going back to Exchange 2010, which is like four or five different versions, all had the same vulnerability, right? The primary vulnerability is Microsoft, but we won't go there. It's within Exchange itself, the version of Exchanges all had the same vulnerability. So the FBI was working overtime to let everybody know, hey, you got to patch these servers because of this known vulnerability that was found out during a hacking contest where the information got out before Microsoft was able to patch it effectively and not cause this big mess.
Yeah, that information was leaked out early.
By hackers.
Right.
Right. You don't know if it's white hats or black hats or just people making mistakes. Who knows? But right now, we don't know what we don't know, Pete, as far as what is vulnerable right now. What's the next vulnerability that the NSA knows about and is actually leveraging against our adversaries? But some ding-dong at the NSA can leak it out, too, and the adversaries then say, oh, I see you got a vulnerability over here. It's a huge mess. This is a huge mess. So who knows? We just heard of American Power Conversion, Schneider Electric, their UPSs.
Oh, yes.
If they're connected to the cloud, the bad guys can try to overheat them. Make them catch fire.
Yes.
Or
force them to shut down, which would take down whatever equipment is plugged into them.
Yeah, I'll put the link up there for you. You can read that story. Yeah. So we're doing our best, Pete, but we all need everybody to help out.
Yeah, what you said was very appropriate. You don't know what you don't know. That's pretty scary, but how true.
Yeah, it's a lack of really a lack of imagination.
That's why the awareness training is probably more important than almost anything else.
Yeah, it's a good start.
Yeah, got it. Well, thanks for the info, guys. That's why I called. I figured you guys would know more than me. It was very enlightening. Thank you.
Yeah, it keeps us up at night, Pete. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for the call, reminding us of our day job. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. One line open for you. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. You guys are great enough to join us. All four lines are busy. I know it's going to be a crappy day out there, but we'll take it. We'll take it. We don't care why you're here. We're just glad that you are here. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to, next one is Joe in Berlin next. What's happening, Joe?
Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, everything's happening. I've got four different questions for you guys.
Oh, boy.
Three different machines. Well, all right. You said that I'll always make a backup, and they're all backed up. At least I think they are. So I decided on my laptop to change the platter drive out to a solid state drive.
Mm-hmm, nice.
And I made a recovery disk.
All right.
Good.
Okay, I put it in there to recover, and the thing is telling me to put in another disk with the drives on it, and I'm sorry, with the drivers.
The machine has no information. It's a blank configuration here.
Right.
The recovery disk should have created much of that for
you.
Yeah,
I would think so.
So at this point, I went out to the Dell website.
Yeah. Okay.
Downloaded all the drivers again.
Mm-hmm.
But and I put that disk in there, and it said it couldn't find any of the drivers.
Did you extract them? Are they in a zip format?
No, they're all executable files.
Oh, and you probably have to expand them.
Okay, so but my question, I can't expand them on the laptop. I'm afraid to do it on the desktop because those are Windows 10.
No, you can expand them and have the target be the USB drive you're using.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I can do that before I blow up another computer here.
Well, there's a very easy way to expand any EXE file that can be expanded. Not all of them can be, but some of them can.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to use a free software title called 7-Zip. That's 7-Zip. You install that to your computer. We can provide you a link to that.
Okay.
And you then right-click on the EXE file that you downloaded from Dell, and one of the options in that little menu that comes up is going to be open with 7-Zip, and that will open up the file, and you'll be able to look at it as if it were, you know, any kind of a zip file, and then you would click on the option to expand it, and then you save it to wherever you want it to save.
Right.
Okay. All right. I will go ahead and I'll try that. And again, good thing you guys said to try this before you really need to have to do this.
Yeah, right. Isn't it? It's good.
I can always put the other hard drive back in. So I'm,
Right. You're not in a crisis.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I'm in a learning curve here.
Yep.
Next question. I have Outlook 365 on one desktop over here,
mm-hmm.
and I do have a couple Google accounts. And lately, it's been coming up one account, all of Google, and it wants me to go in there, enter your password, sign in, do all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then it asks, does Outlook have permission to? Or vice versa, Google have permission to look at all your pictures and all your files and everything else. I say no, and close it out, and then this Google One account, all of Google's, keeps popping up. Are they telling me that I have to let Outlook or Google look at all my information on my hard drives if I want to continue using my Google?
I don't know. I mean, the idea of mail, right, an application that uses mail, is to attach files that are going to be on your machine. And if you don't let Google look at those, it can't be utilized.
Right.
That's fine by me. I don't want it to.
I don't know if the pop-up is going to continue to nag you having to do with the permissions. I don't know if it's a permission issue that's causing this or if it's just a nagging credentialing issue with Google.
Well, it locks everything up, and I have to close these out, then I can continue using Outlook. But it comes up probably every 10 minutes.
Well, yeah.
One account, all of Google.
One account, all of Google. I'm not sure what that is exactly.
I don't either.
But you obviously have a Gmail account, is what you're saying.
Correct, yes. I got a couple of Gmail accounts.
Yeah, but you're using an application, too, it looks like, that's kind of managing those accounts, and it's asking for permission. It's called One Account, and I'm not familiar with it, or that's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of anything like that. Never heard of it.
I can take a snapshot of this and email it to you guys if you want. it's just driving me nuts.
Yeah, hang on. There's a lot of I Googled it, and there's a lot of stuff on it.
Huh.
So you can basically you can disable it. You can disable the sign-in process. I can put this link up here for you. There's a way to stop the irritating Google One Tap login pop-up across all.
Right.
So we can give you that information to see how to adjust it. But I don't know if it has to do with your permissions or not. And the thing that's so weird about this these days is that, again, 4 years ago, by default, every application had access to everything anyways. So now the applications are trying to say, look, okay, if you want to use me, the system is telling me to give you permission. And then, of course, it's causing these headaches. Wait until zero trust comes in. Wait until that's a thing. It is a thing.
It's definitely a thing, and it's coming.
And zero trust is going to say every application can only look at very specific things to do with that application. Like QuickBooks right now, if you run a QuickBooks, it has access to the QuickBooks files, but it has access to everything wherever that data is set. So zero trust is going to say, well, no, QuickBooks, you only have access to QuickBooks. You have no access to anything else. All that has to be configured across every application and across every system. And again, it's called zero trust, and there are tools out there to do it. But your little issue here is just Google trying to be polite and saying, "Can you give me access to the thing I need to actually work for you?"
And I'm paranoid, and I don't trust anybody. So
I don't blame you.
I don't blame you either.
Never mind. Don't get me started. I will look at that.
It is talk radio.
All right, now on my other desktop, 2 updates ago, after it did the update, I could not, in the lower left hand corner, you go to start and go to shutdown. Every time I clicked on that, it would restart the computer. It would shut down and then start up again. And so then I ended up hitting the power button, which shut it down, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
With this last update a couple of days ago, neither one of them work. If I hit the power button, it shuts down and restarts. Or if I hit that, on the menu, shut down, it just restarts again. The only way I can power this thing down now is to pull the plug.
Whoa.
Hmm. You can configure that in the power settings.
I went through that. I went through that. I tried to configure it.
All right.
And it seems to do nothing.
How old is that machine, Joe?
About 3 years old.
Oh, that's young. You have a lot of computers for a...
I'm 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right.
Yeah, well, see, I'm self-employed.
Yep.
And, like the laptops and this other desktop here, They're both running Windows 7, and they're just primarily because of my customers. That we got some, I'm in the machine tool business, and they old, not old, but machines that don't know Windows 10, and right. the new programs, they won't run on Windows 7 or whatever, and I don't blame them because. $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 to upgrade.
Yes, no, I know.
And it's a perfect machine. It runs good. Why would these guys want to?
Yeah, it's almost like they should go, and when these machine manufacturers come out, they should come out with their own OSs to deal with the machine and not deal with Microsoft. But no, they chose Microsoft.
I mean, lots of these older controls, that's exactly what they did. They had their own operating system.
Right, and guess what? Those machines still run.
They still run, and that's why I have...
And they're not vulnerable. They're not vulnerable to Correct. Attack from Russia, right? The Windows Correct. Ones are, but the micro right. those aren't. So as far as your issue here is why you're not going to shut down or you're restarting when you're shutting down. Did you find anything, Dennis, while we were talking?
I found a couple of articles, including one here that's pretty comprehensive, that offers quite a list of troubleshooting steps that may resolve it.
All right, so we're going to give you something to do today.
It's kind of a shotgun approach with a lot of different suggestions, but a lot of them center on things like disabling sleep, and that can definitely cause some strange Weirdness. Power effects in the computer. But there are other things that are in there, and I'm sure that one of them is going to help you. I can't predict which one,
right.
but...
We'll put a link up there for
quite
you.
Quite a list, and it'll
Just
give you some ideas.
The strange thing between these, I got two Windows 10 machines. They're identical Dell computers, desktops. The other one had the same update. It doesn't do that.
Oh, I know. We know.
Oh, yeah.
If it was logical, Joe, we both of us would have more hair. It used to be logical.
All three of us, yeah.
Yeah, it
All
used to be us. Logical, but it's not anymore. And you could have an application on there that's messing with the DLL that's not on the other machines. The machine's identical, but did you load the identical software and only have the identical? Exactly. So each one's
is
different.
One is for business, the other one is for goofing off. So
right. So that's a whole different machine. It's literally like having pea soup and tomato soup.
Yep.
It says Windows 10 and it's a Dell, but they're completely different recipes. Unfortunately, it's a big mess. This whole thing is becoming a big mess, and we thank Microsoft.
Thank you. You're welcome. So.
they keep us busy.
One last question. The Windows 10 machine, I've got two screens on them.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I decided to play with the one of the screens, change the resolution. And I changed it back because I didn't like it. But now every once in a while, when I boot up, one screen will have one resolution. The other screen will have a different resolution.
Yep.
And I have to do is shut down and reboot.
Well, you could right-click and change the resolution in the screen settings. That'll teach you to mess around. But right-click in the screen, and you should be able to choose which screen is display 1 and 2 and figure out which resolution. You can do that within your display settings. And you should be able to reset it. It's just not auto-sensing. Or you can go to display settings and try to set it physically, set it so it doesn't keep trying to guess.
That's what I did, but it's random. And,
correct.
And when it first boots up, I don't know. But when I start running QuickBooks,
it's in a different resolution.
It really gets.
It just is not auto detecting very well for whatever reason. I couldn't tell you why. Again, update your drivers. You can do that. You can just right click and change it.
Okay.
Comes down to how much you want to mess with it.
Okay, probably make it worse. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you very much. I will look at those all those links, and I'll let you know what happened.
Sounds good. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, Joe.
Yep. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take a quick break here before Tom gets mad at me and step out. And so hang on, Dennis, Sherry, and Bill. This is Computer Talk. One line open for you. We'll be right back. We are back in the teenage wasteland that is computers. We're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online, and Dennis and I will do our best to help you out. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to another Dennis in Simsbury. What's happening, Dennis?
Hello there.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. It's great to talk to you. I've been a long time, very long time listener. Probably listening to you guys for like 15 years or so.
Awesome.
I think this is probably the first time I called, though. So,
okay.
Usually I'm sitting on my lawnmower, you know, mowing my grass on a Saturday morning, listening to you guys. And you really
awesome.
I appreciate it. I've learned so much from you guys over the years, and it's great.
I'm glad.
So my problem is one of my part-time jobs is helping my wife's business, supporting her business. She has a small business in Simsbury running QuickBooks.
Mm-hmm.
So we have QuickBooks desktop, stuck with that, and we're running, I think it's 2019 or it could be 2021. But anyways, it is not compatible with Windows 11. And after doing some research, because of everybody getting, you know, a request to kind of upgrade to Windows 11, I was concerned I was going to do it, but then I looked at it wasn't compatible. But someone that was using the computer, I'm not sure who it was, but when they were prompted to install Windows 11, they must have hit an okay, and
yeah.
It's now all set, and it's ready to now install. So every time the computer boots up, you get a prompt to say, are you ready to go? Let's go. Or you can reschedule like 2 weeks out, which I told her to make sure she does. Do not install Windows 11. So how do I get rid of that? I haven't been able to get rid of that prompt.
Okay. So this is where Microsoft is malware. Right. This is an example of malicious software where Microsoft has said to you, you know what, your machine should upgrade to Windows 11, and we're going to keep putting up this nagging thing. And we hope someday some guy is going to click on this and have this happen. This shouldn't be a thing. You should be able to choose when you want to upgrade your darn operating system. It shouldn't be one of those things that Microsoft slips by you. And some person says, yeah, let's upgrade. Let's get the latest and greatest. This is as far as I'm concerned, this is malicious because your business is going to be impacted now. And looking into it, though, QuickBooks 2021 will run, the desktop pro will run on Windows 11, I think.
It does say that there could be issues, though.
Well, welcome to our world.
Yeah.
There could be issues with it running on Windows 10.
Right. But all the it says they're not recommending it. It basically says hold off. It's what I've been reading, but
we've been saying too forever.
Yeah.
But Microsoft does this with these. I would contend it's malicious. Hey, you should upgrade. Hey, you should upgrade, and somebody's going to click on it. Why does Microsoft care so much? You know.
Right.
It's your machine. If you want to leave it running the way it's running. So Dennis is trying to figure out a way you can back out of this. But, yeah, he's shaking his head like I'm thinking, too. It's
there is
too
no
late.
There is, at least as far as I can find,
right.
There is no clean way to deal with that.
Because it's already
too
far.
And I am going to tell you what to do.
Okay, here we go.
You're not going to like to hear this. What you're going to do is upgrade to Windows 11. Then, once it's up and running with Windows 11, you're going to go in and roll back to Windows 10.
Okay.
And then you are going to block the Windows 11 update.
We can actually give you a link.
We can give you a link to that, too.
Great. All right.
That is the clean. I mean, it sounds harsh and difficult, and it'll take time. But that is the clean way to do what you want.
And then the last piece is maybe write your legislator and say, why can a company do this to me? Right? What is Microsoft's businesses? What business is it of theirs to say you must run this latest operating system, knowing their track record, right? Just knowing their track record. Now, I was watching air disasters last night, and Korean Air came up, and they had a disaster in 1999. They were kind of a bad airline before then. Mm-hmm. They've been the best airline on the planet now because of their track record. Now let's look at Microsoft. Do I have to say anything? Right? The fact that you got updated without really your desire is, again, it's malicious. It's Microsoft forcing themselves on you. You just want to run your business, do your QuickBooks. Leave me alone, Microsoft. If I want to run Windows 10 until the end of support day, which is 2025, right, Dennis?
Yes.
Yeah.
You got some years. Get off my back, Microsoft.
You've got time.
Right. Why are they doing this to you? And they did this to you, and then we're on the radio telling everybody to hold off. Now we have to tell you how to block it. Put a link up there. Microsoft, just cut it out for crying out loud and let us be. That's what I ask for. And you can tell the frustration in my voice. I've been doing this for 30 years.
Well,
it used to be we could control this a little better.
Yeah, Eric, I've gotten the calls on this, and yeah. I've had to go through this.
And that's your answer. Customers. Your answer has been to upgrade and then roll back.
Yes.
And that's hours of time.
Oh, absolutely. It's terrible, but it's the clean way to do it. And right. it's the only way that I can think of that isn't going to damage the computer.
Right. The other thought, of course, is to see how it works. How long can he go before he rolls back? Because if another
10 days.
10 days.
You have 10 days to experiment with QuickBooks on Windows 11 if you choose to do that.
Hmm.
But you okay. only have 10 days. And that 10 days is going to be eaten up much faster than you think. Trust me.
Right.
I had a call 2 weeks ago from a customer
yeah.
who did that. He thought he would have time to experiment with Windows 11.
Yeah.
And he called too late to do the rollback.
Now he's stuck with it. Now it'd be a wipe yeah. and a reload.
Yeah.
So we feel yeah. your pain, Dennis. It's ridiculous. So I hope you understand the process he just described to you. But
Yeah, I do. It sounds better than... I saw some of the solutions are going in and changing register keys and everything.
No,
well, you might need to do the registry key to block Windows 11 update after you've gotten back okay. to Windows 10.
Yeah.
But because okay. the update is in progress right now, mm-hmm. you have to let it finish
yeah.
before gotcha. You do anything else. Yep.
Okay.
All right, Dennis.
Well, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. You do a great service to a lot of people out there listening, and I appreciate it. You've given me so much information over the years. So I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure, Dennis. We'll be right back.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.